Hail cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Quick question for you, Josh. What's going to work better for you? Is it going to be better if I leave halfway through the podcast, or should I just show up halfway through the podcast? Either way, it's going to be a one-pointer. My God, what happened this game week? Let me tell you a story. So after the Liverpool match, I had Salah, thank God. We'll get to you in a second. But, you know, you miss out on doubling that haul. You're feeling a little down. And then watch the first half of the midday fixtures, and I've got Mitro and Lacazette captain playing. It's kind of pretty quiet. I decide, hey, wife, I'm going to pop out, get a bagel. As I'm standing in line waiting for the bagel, I was tempted at one point to just step out of line and go to the Brooklyn Bridge and jump off of the Brooklyn Bridge. It was the moment at which I saw that both Lacazette and Mitro were coming off at halftime. Two-thirds of my front line. Yeah, sickening, absolutely feeling. Sickening. We have so many sickening stories from this game week, the best of which we will save for the rants section. But also on the other side of the coin, amazing scores. Just one of those weeks where it's just the highs and lows of FPL.
It was a weird week. I mean, I had a great week, and I still had some awful moments. I mean, you know, going into that Wolves Newcastle match yesterday, you know, my new trend, I was feeling so smug about bringing in Callum Wilson, or about bringing in Jimenez over Wilson. And then Jimenez gets benched, blows a huge chance in that game. Kennedy doesn't play until like the last minute. Although, I don't know if you listened to Second Captain today, Brandon, but they had a pretty funny thing.
Ken Early really ripped into Kennedy's defense on that Doherty goal.
It ripped into him so much that I'm like, man, is Kennedy like not going to start going forward? Like, they had to drop him before this Huddersfield match.
Don't you feel like this happens every week, though? Some fringe player in the Premier League makes some career suicidal move, and they end up starting the next week. Because these managers, like Benitez, it's not like he has a boatload of options there on the bench. Right. Give him a stern talking to at training the following day, and you're good to go.
Yeah. I know. These—they're all 22 years old, right? So you know it's going to happen. So Brandon,
haven't you just stopped running at some point in your life? I know I have.
I have. Yeah, there were a lot of scary things this weekend, Brandon. Was there anything scarier though than Nicolas Cage's performance in Mandy? Which
a truly remarkable movie, Mandy, one of the greatest psychedelic movies I've seen in a long time.
It was amazing. It was really we give it our highest recommendation, Brandon. 10 bags of popcorn.
Followed by chips, which we'd probably give our lowest recommendation.
Zero. Well, let's give it one bag of popcorn.
One of those little motorcycle, a toy motorcycle to drive around.
So yeah, very strange week. It was okay. So the topic for today's episode, which we're going to get to in a moment, is, you know, basically how do you fit as many massive, very expensive, highly performing players in your team as possible, and then once you do, how do you figure out who to captain, right? This is like, this has now become sort of the dominant. It's actually great because, you know, I mean, it's great this week for me. It didn't work out for me at midweek. It didn't work out for me the week before. But, you know, we have these moments now where every game week you've got 3, 4, up to 5 captain options, maybe 6, right? I mean, maybe Lacazette has stopped being a captain option, but certainly going into this weekend, you know, he was a valid option. So you really don't know what's going to happen. And you have these crazy swings, you know, players, you know, teams outscoring other teams by 25, 30 points. And I love it. Like, I think it's, you know, it like injects like a ton of randomness into the game, which some people really don't like. And I can understand that, but I think it doesn't make you feel safe. It doesn't make you feel safe. Yeah, it does not.
It doesn't make you feel safe. Andy, Let's Talk FPL was making a point on Twitter about how there is no solidified template at this point in the season, at least in the top 100K. And it's wild. I'm trying to remember a season in recent memory where there wasn't this wild shredding of the template.
Right. I mean, you could look at, you could look across the game and, okay, maybe there's like a pool of 50 players or something like that. But if you looked across the entire game, is there one player that is a consensus must have right now? Like maybe, it's outside of Matt Doherty, there's nobody, right? Uh-huh. It's like he's the one player.
Yeah, I feel like Raheem Sterling's name gets talked about in all of the closed rooms of FPL Twitter, but
yeah.
But even still, not everyone has him, and not many of the high performing managers, you just look at the last 2 weeks, have him. So yeah. While he is up there, he's not done anyone a bit of good in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I don't have him right now. And my I'm not immediately planning to bring him in, you know, even though I really want him for this Everton fixture. I think it's great, though. I think it's a lot of fun, you know, and it just keeps things really it forces you to be very engaged. And I feel like in the last couple of years, maybe you could kind of sit and forget things a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, almost everyone had five or six of the same players. It's a lot more like American style, or like, it's more like a draft league, you know, like yes. Where everything is just all over the place. And some people can have huge game weeks and other people just get hit. You know, the thing about a draft league, though, is, you know, it's head to head. So any one game week doesn't matter. You know, you can beat somebody by 40 points. Yeah. It doesn't really matter. But in whatever they call the style of league, like a standard league where it's just like, you know, cumulative points, those 30, 40 points can make a huge difference. I guess you just have to hope you're on the right side of it more often than not. I mean, you know, game week 15, which we're not really going to talk about because it's, you know, it's sort of already in the rearview mirror, but, you know, the midweek fixtures, I was knocked back like 20, 30 points in our mini league, mm-hmm. you know, and, mm-hmm. and I, you know, got all of them back at the weekend. So you kind of take a long view right now, I think. And just accept that like things are going to be kind of swingy and like you can't make too much of any one game week.
Yeah, no, exactly. Keep calm, carry on. All right, so let's get to our own personal game weeks. I'll start. I had a tough one, ended up on 52 points, which is three below the game week average of 55. I played two free transfers this week. One was... I thought a bit rogue. I went Mitro when the crowd was urging Wilson to replace the injured Arnautovic. I just didn't like that. It was a psychological thing, and I didn't want to bring Wilson in for that Liverpool fixture, which I just thought was, even though we saw Wilson against Man City, perhaps this guy is in such great form, he's fixture proof, just didn't feel good. And I decided to just go a little bit zig instead of zag and went Mitrovic. Mm-hmm. We know how that turned out. And the other one was dropping Martial, who was struggling with the tight hamstring. Ultimately, I waited until the reports came out that he didn't travel with the team or he wasn't in the hotel prior to the match days. So I went David Silva. Ultimately, well, hindsight, I think David Silva was kind of a conservative pick. I was talking to you post-watching Mandy. You were sort of quizzing me about how I felt about Richarlison or Felipe Anderson. Mm-hmm. And yeah, these guys probably would have given me a little more assurity and starts. And I mean, I don't know. It was just ended up being a bad pick for the game week. But it was all to plan. It was a one-week punt because I ultimately wanted Sané. And this is now the question that I have to answer going into the weekend is I have the funds to turn David Silva or David Silva into Sané. But now we have all these questions about how to best fill that spot. Richarlison looked great today. Felipe Anderson continues to impress. Could even go more budget. With somebody like Snodgrass, who we were kind of blowing off a couple weeks ago and we're eating our words now. So really the only stars of my team were Salah on a vice captaincy and Andy Robertson, another great game week for him. Doherty coming through with the late goal, but putting the armband on Lacazette, this is,
he had a goal on his boot, you know, and it was wrongly chalked off for offside. So, you can't be too results oriented with this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, it is true. The hard thing with Lacazette, going back to the psychological aspect of the game, is it's 2 weeks in a row in which he doesn't play even 60 minutes. He ends up getting an own goal because he's just completely laid out midweek, even though I do get attacking returns here. Then he gets pulled off at halftime, a wrongfully disallowed goal. It's just it's killing me when this is my premium striker spot. And I think I'm definitely considering moving him to Harry Kane through burning 4 or 8 for the weekend.
Yeah. So if you did Silva to Felipe Anderson or Richarlison, could you move, who could you bring in for that?
I'd be short of Felipe Anderson. So I'd have to go, I think 6.3 to 6.4 would be my threshold.
Okay.
So to get Kane,
it's really a Snodgrass solution.
Yeah, and I don't like the looks of a Sterling Salah Snodgrass midfield.
It's not that bad.
It's not terrible. So I'm going to have to give a lot of thought.
The Triple S.
We'll look at the Champions League lineups and see how they look. But I could do a -8 and turn Andy Robertson into Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Okay.
And, obviously he got a rest, as you acutely know, Josh, this weekend, but there's no one else. With Gomez out, there's not a lot of rotation threat there, and Trent's coming off of a rest. You feel like he's probably solid as much as any player could be for the festive fixtures. Is it worth a -4 to turn one of the best defenders in FPL and Andy Robertson into a make weight in Trent?
No, I think the answer is obviously not. I don't like that move. If this was the Always Cheating Advice Shop, Brandon, I would be strongly telling you not to make that move.
All right. So that's my team. It's my first week, my first game week since game week 10, where I dropped out of the top 10K overall. So I'm around 15,000 right now. Pretty disappointing, but I remain in a strong position.
Yeah, nothing
heading
wrong
into
with
the holidays.
Yeah, 15K is extremely good. I mean, you know, obviously.
Yeah. So how'd your week go?
It was really good. I was thinking about, so I was debating between Salah and Aubameyang a lot the last couple of days. I actually decided to go with Salah mostly because I thought when Salah came on in the very end of the Burnley match, I thought he was incredibly active and aggressive. And it was like a real eye test moment where I was like, man, I was like, I think he's like back into form. And I just had no faith in the Bournemouth defense at all. So went back and forth. I ultimately decided to do it. There was that kind of fear of like, do you want to captain a player in the early morning fixture? And I had a thought as I was watching this morning, Brandon, about how maybe we view this a little too negatively, because the flip side is if you captain a player in the morning fixture and they do really well, you don't worry about anything the rest of the weekend. It's amazing. You get to watch 3 days of football and it's like, who cares? You know, it's like you got 42 points or you're like, you know, I had a bunch of, I finished on 77 points. I have one pointers all over my team. I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I have 5 different one pointers on my team, and Fabianski, Kennedy, Jimenez, Kane, and Wan-Bissaka. And it still worked out fine, you know? And so I had Salah. The Aubameyang thing was, and even the way that the players I didn't captain didn't do well, it was kind of okay. You know, it was one of those situations where getting the one pointer with Kane was kind of fine because he was so heavily captained by, you know, like
serves to help your overall rank at that point.
Exactly. So I was willing to take the one pointer there. And so, you know, moving along, things kind of like as the day went on, the next couple of days, it was getting a little frustrating because, you know, 1 point from Kane, 1 point from Jimenez, the late Doherty goal was fantastic, obviously. A great moment. I was actually at a birthday party with my kid, but I was tracking it very closely on my phone. It was pretty exciting.
And I hope you told every mother and father the party what had just happened.
Yeah, I know. Of course you can't. Yeah, it's just a shame in America. You can't say anything. No one knows what's going on. So then I'm watching the Everton game
today.
Why
do they treat us like this, Josh? We're not freaks. We're not animals.
Yeah.
We're real people.
I'm watching the Everton game today, and I don't have Richarlison. He scores like right off the bat, and I'm sure much like you who also don't have Richarlison, you're like, oh my God, is this like
– Yeah.
Is it going to be a hat trick? Like you know, totally, you just, anything's on the table, right? After an early goal like that. Because the team's going to get stretched. So then, you know, Everton's holding on. They're keeping their clean sheet. I have Lucas Digne. And I'm like, all right, as long as Lucas Digne keeps the clean sheet, I'm feeling okay, you know?
Yeah.
So then we get the Coleman own goal. And what's amazing is I actually really debated between Coleman and Digne too. So I would really be kicking myself today if I had gone with Digne.
Indeed.
So, so I get the Coleman own goal, then they another goal, and I'm like, man, it's like the sixth one pointer in my team. And then, of course, you know, because there's 6 minutes of extra time because there was so much time wasting on Watford's part. He, you know, handball, and then there's this amazing moment where Dean Richarlison and one other player, I think it was Sigurdsson, are all standing over the ball, and I'm like looking at my phone. I'm at work. I'm like in a conference room. Like I want to see the last couple minutes. So they're like all standing over the ball, and I can see like Dean like yelling at Richarlison. Like I think Richarlison really wanted to take it, and I'm like I think Dean's going to take this. And then you know ball goes in. It was the most exciting moment of the entire season for me. Like even more exciting than the Salah hat trick. It was like. Because I got the 6 points for the goal and then the 3 bonus points. And it's like 9 points in the last minute of the last fixture. And I don't mean to rub it in for people who had a bad week, because I know a lot of people did. But damn, that's exciting. That it was like exactly why you play fantasy. You know, it was like exactly why you play fantasy in that one moment where you're just like, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't have any control, you know, and often it doesn't go the way you want it to. And then every now and then it does. And it's like perfect. And it's like, you know, and so it was just like, oh, it was just such a great, like, it was like the kind of high that I'm going to like try to like hold on to when I have like several bad game weeks over the next several weeks. Yes. You know, it's like, remember that moment. Like, remember how fun that was when you start to think about how it's all like a crapshoot and random. And so anyway,
remember that moment where you held your baby for the very first time, and also remember that moment when Lucas Dean drew level with Watford on a Monday while you're sitting in a conference room. I love
Brandon, on the day my daughter was born, Romelu Lukaku scored on a free kick for Everton.
That's true. Oh, special shout out. Speaking of birthdays, special shout out to Raheem Sterling for not doing anything on his birthday and breaking the hoodoo of scoring a goal on your birthday. Yeah, so thanks for nothing, Raheem.
Yeah, the always cheating theory. So anyway, I moved from 56,000. I've been slipping like further. I'd been up to 13.4. That was my high. Slipped all the way down to 56,000 after 3 red arrows, and now I'm back up to 32,000. So 32K, perfectly good spot to be going into these next few fixtures. So Brandon, that's enough about us though. We have the always cheating Super League to talk about.
My God, there's been some movement in the Super League, which it's never too late to join. Just go to alwayscheating.com, click the league tab, league codes all over our social media. Starting at number 10, it's Dan Rumford. Welcome to the big time, Dan. At number 9, Carlston Zureb. In 8th place, Matthew Shannon. 7th place, Luca Elliott. 6th place, Øyvind Malmen. And by the way, Josh, starting 6th place up to 1st place, these gentlemen are all in the top 100 in the world. So shout out to everyone here. In 5th place, Marin Vulatek. 4th place, Steve Kuhl, who I posited that Steve Kuhl must be American. But according to his FPL page, he's from Spain. 3rd place, the legend that is Fabio Borges. Dropping down to 2nd place, it's Miroslav Pujic. And a new number one, Jason Mann, 2 Girls, 1 Klopp, who is rated 17 overall in the world. Well done, Jason. You're number one this week.
Yeah, Brandon, we had someone fall out of the top 10 who we're going to get to in a second. So we'll table that for 1 second. Patreon thank yous, though, Brandon. We have a new producer patron. Brandon, welcome to Big Gaffer.
Welcome to Big Gaffer. You're the man.
We have a new, yeah, thank you. We have a new Sirloth patron. That's Joe Gleason. Thank you to Joe. He's that Joe guy on Twitter. Been talking to him for a long time. Two new Embacani patrons. We have Ben Gowland and Richard Hedberg. And just as a reminder, this is always cheating pledge month. We don't like to push the Patreon too hard most of the time, but in December, if you're so inclined, if you're feeling the Christmas spirit or the Hanukkah spirit, whatever spirit you may be feeling, you know, if you want to support the podcast,
just the harvest spirit, Josh,
you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating, and you can there's multiple pledge levels there. You also get a discount for the Always Cheating shop. Anyone who supports the podcast between now and the end of December get 10% off the shop. We've got mugs and t-shirts and sweatshirts and other stuff there too. So go and check that out. Actually, I think it's just those three things. go to the Always Cheating shop and check those out. But yeah, patreon.com/always cheating.
The one other perk that we're pushing right now on Patreon is our Starting 11 Retro Kit contest, which started fresh this past game week for December every month. With our friends at Starting 11, we're giving away a free retro kit from 3retro.com. So you automatically get entered into that as part of your Patreon membership.
And Brandon, yeah, there's lots of other stuff too. You can do shout outs. You can pick a topic for the podcast. Lots of other cool stuff. So patreon.com/always cheating. Brandon, we have a rant this week. There's a lot of people who are ranting. We decided to pick just one because it's a sad rant, Brandon. It's an epic rant. Why don't you tell us about it?
All right. Lots of you know Guy, Wijnaldum Leviosa. He has been tearing up FPL this season. Spent at least 4 weeks in the top 10 overall in the world. Number one week in, week out in the Always Cheating Super League. Just having a phenomenal season. Guy is also a Patreon supporter of the podcast, and he reached out to us on our Slack with this story about what he's been up to. So he just wanted to give us a heads up. And last game week, his team was suffering from multiple injuries. He had Arnie, Martial, Robertson was looking like a bit of a doubt. And he had some rotation risks with Son and David Luiz. So a Guy, because he was having such an amazing season, had held on to his wild card. No need to play it. Why? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But heading into this game week, these concerns in mind, he decides to play his wild card. So Guy's telling us about how he did his, I guess this would qualify as due diligence, right, Josh? He's talking about running scripts. Who knows how to run scripts? You have to be like a computer programmer. He had multiple spreadsheets. He was looking at all the underlying stats, also trusting the eye test. He was feeling certain rate my teams out on Twitter, basically doing all of his homework. He didn't want to leave anything to risk. Ultimately, he ends up picking a wild card side that I think if you'd recommend, if you're way up there competing for the number one spot in the world, maybe you want to go a little more template, a little more conservative, with some exceptions on the margins. Mm-hmm. The end result for a Guy is this. Before he wildcarded, his team in game week 15 would have scored 103 points. That's Salah on captain, Son, Robertson, David Luiz, Richarlison, Hazard. Definitely would have been in the top five overall, as hard as it is to creep up those spots.
Yep.
His wild card team ends up scoring 32 points. So this is a swing of 71 points. So he drops out of the top 500 in an instant, just like that. He's out of the top 500. He's more than 100 points back from number one in the league now. I mean, you could argue that it's still possible for Guy to creep back into that top 10, but mm-hmm. It's going to be really tough for him. And it's sickening. The word that is appropriate here is savage. FPL can be a savagely brutal game. Yeah. So Guy, thank you for allowing us to share this heartbreaking story. I mean, just let it be a beacon to all of us that things could be worse. I think he's 655 in the world now. So
I would,
if I were 655 in the world, yeah.
I would trade 32,000 in the world for 655. I won't lie to you, Brandon. But obviously that's given where he was, that's completely brutal. But you know, it's interesting because we talked about the curse of two transfers on an earlier podcast about how sometimes when, like at least for me personally, when I have two transfers, I can't. It's hard for me not to like over tinker, you know, and not just make the curse of the wild card. I feel like we've seen this a lot. There's a lot of top managers who have been held under the wild card for a long time, and they've been like sort of going through these bad game weeks for weeks and weeks while they sort of hold on to the wild card. And I wonder if, you know, there's something to be said for an earlier wild card. I feel like it's hurt a lot of really top managers this season. So
I hope I'm going to put out the call to all the statisticians out there. Peter Blake, if you're listening, I don't want to see like individual performance stats or positional performance stats. What are the average points in every season in which things seem most stable in terms of player performance? Like because I feel like what we're learning is the best time to wildcard is wildcarding into a time of stability, a time of peace. Because now, I feel, as we're about to talk about in the meat of this podcast, is there are so many shifting sands and so many premium assets that are up for grabs and performing differently week to week.
Yep. Yeah. It's maybe that's always true. I don't know, but it does seem like there was a strong stretch there for maybe game week 8 to 14 or so, where it felt like things were pretty stable, you know? And so maybe, yeah. I don't know. I mean, obviously hindsight's 2020 and all those cliches, but yeah, it does seem like this is a really risky time to wild card. I mean, you look at every single move he made and all of them are defensible, of course, right?
Sure.
I mean, you know, especially, you know, it's so frustrating this season with all these unreported injuries. It feels like this is like a huge theme this year, is like just people who are injured who nobody knows are injured. I feel like we talked about this on several pods already, right? I mean, as far as I know, there was absolutely no indication that Callum Wilson was injured, except maybe like 15 minutes before the game or something, right? Like, I think someone on one of our UK listeners was like, oh yeah, on Sky Sports, Jamie Carragher mentioned he didn't travel with the team or something like that, you know, or I don't know, wasn't the team bus or something. But like in general, like it's, you know, there's just a lot of stuff that we don't know about. I mean, Trent Alexander-Arnold not starting this weekend was a bit of a shocker, right?
So, you look at these players that Guy points out. Trent is rotated. He'll be back. Sigurdsson, you can easily move Sigurdsson to Felipe Anderson or Richarlison if you're not feeling good about him.
That's also Kane, just bad luck. I mean, Ben Foster doesn't make a great save. He might be on a 10-pointer today.
Yep. Kane, I wish I had Kane. Jimenez, that's just a rotation. Wilson, injury very soft. Looks like he'll probably be back for the weekend. Sané and Sterling, I think we all blank's going to blank. So it's just some really dumb luck.
Yep. All right, Brandon, let's take a quick break and let's get right into today's topic, which is how do we fit everybody in? All right, Brandon, we're back. We're keeping it nice and easy for this week's podcast. We've got one topic, and then we're going to do a lightning round, and then we're going to look at the next game week. So
it's easy. I'm sure this question you're about to ask is a simple answer, right?
Take us 3 minutes to answer, 2 minutes for the lightning round. We'll be out of here in about 5 minutes. So actually, you can probably just do it yourself if you want to just
take a backseat. We'll sub you out, right? You're on for 5 yellow cards right now, so we'll just put you on the bench and save you for next podcast.
It's like the Rogue One, right? Where you've just got old clips of me that you can just sub in, like Princess Leia, you know, just like just throw me.
Don't worry, Josh. We'll make you look much younger.
So Vital Ritchie, Vital Ritchie is setting the table for this week's topic. He says Aubameyang, Kane, Salah, Hazard, Sterling. It appears all 5 of these are great options, but we can probably only afford 3 maximum. It says which 3 for the next 5 to 6 game weeks. Brandon, I have 2 questions for you. Okay.
Okay. Lay it on me. Yeah.
Okay. The first question is Aubameyang, Kane, Salah, Hazard, Sterling. Do you agree that those are the 5 heavy hitters right now? I know that Felipe Anderson and Richarlison are kind of in the bracket below them, but in terms of the kind of expensive, consistent, you know, options, are those the 5? Is anybody missing from that list?
I really don't think there are. Yeah, as you mentioned, there are some great FPL assets that are hanging around, but these are the guys that they cost so much you're going to have to build around them. So I would agree with the premise of Vinyl Richie's question.
Yeah. I guess my second question, my second question, Brandon, don't be shy, Josh, just ask the question. My second question is, can you fit more than those 3 into your team? Can you fit 4 or even 5? Could you have a team with Sterling, Hazard, Salah, Kane, and Aubameyang? Would that work? Could you wild card into that team?
I think this game week 15 is a good example of why I would think it doesn't work. Because you will have weeks in which none of these guys perform. Salah actually did perform this week, but there could be a week in which none of these guys perform. If you have all 5 of them, they're all surrounded by absolute losers. Right.
All you would have needed to do was captain Kane instead of Salah, right? You know, for to be on 22 plus 1 from Kane, 2 from Sterling, 5 from Aubameyang.
Yeah.
You know.
So what I'm saying there is, in order to manage your risk, I think you have to have room in your team for the guys that we were trying to sow into this question. Mm-hmm. The Felipe Andersons, Richarlisons, Sigurdsson on a different day. Sort of the sub-premium assets that will be there when you need them.
Yeah, your Lucas Deans.
Yeah, you're Lucas Dietz.
If you had five, if you had those five players, you couldn't have someone like Lucas Dean, right? Lucas Dean is like my fourth defender, right? He's just like, he's 4.9 million, right? Yeah. If you have a team with five heavy hitters, you can't have 5 million fourth defenders. You know, you don't have the money for
okay.
it.
So I guess then to go back to your first question, we're leaving out somebody like Marcus Alonso or Andy Robertson, who have emerged as the two best performing defensive assets. You do have alternatives like a cheaper Trent Alexander-Arnold, but it's a very good point. You have no space for flexibility with your goalkeeper. Your defense is going to be dictated by just really cheap guys.
Yeah, and then suddenly you got a guy like Juan Bissaka starting for you all the time, and he's picking up, you know, one clean sheet surrounded by three blanks, you know, he's already on, one, two, three, four, five, six. You know, he has 6 one-pointers in the last 10 games, you know, so you really don't want, you know, that's not what happens. Like, you know, yeah. Or someone like Bennett, you know, like if you've got, you know, Bennett in your team, he's going to miss fixtures every week. You're going to be sweating whether he starts. So anyway, okay. So, right. Okay. So we agree that you can probably only have three of these five. We agree that, you know, that it's that those are probably the five key players. I would add Aguero when he is back. I think that he is another for me. I think it's Aubameyang or Aguero. I don't want to get too off like track here, but I think if I have Aguero, I can sacrifice Aubameyang. I don't know why I don't trust Aubameyang still. Is that weird? Do you feel the same way? I mean, you don't have him in your team at all, but it's like a weird for a guy who scored 10 goals. It's weird to be like, I don't know. So, you know, just because we're talking about Aguero, let's Max Football says, if Aguero is fit this weekend, would you bring him in for Aubameyang or Kane? Would you have those?
So this is my question. I feel like I am looking for a replacement, as I discussed earlier, for Lacazette.
So that's it. You and Lacazette are just done already. You're like, you're out.
I mean, well, what if it were you? It's like I still
he'd
see
be out. I would. Yeah. I would be. I would probably burn four to take him out. I would probably. I think I would probably just do Lacazette to Aubameyang. To be totally honest, I think that Aubameyang's a little more of a sure starter. They play Burnley and Fulham at home in two of the next five. It's, you know, that game week 21 fixture for Aubameyang in particular, home to Fulham on New Year's Day, that is going to be.
And Southampton in game week 17, which is a sensational fixture. Yeah. Because I'm looking to move Lacazette out, and I think if you're out there listening and you're in a similar position where you do not have Kane or Aubameyang, there is an opportunity here for you to get the early returns from Aguero as a differential.
Right.
And that's a temptation. So I'm considering getting on board early with Aguero, but you know, what do we call Pep's rotation? What is it? Lip sync.
Lip sync.
The problem with lip sync is I will not get word one from Pep about Aguero's situation ahead of this game week. So it's just such a huge gamble to bring Aguero in before you actually see him step onto the pitch. So it's just super risky.
The fixtures for Man City are ridiculous over the next four game weeks. They're almost too good in a way, you know. Yeah. They play Everton, Crystal Palace at home in the next two. I mean, it could be like a completely different team in between those two. I mean, I don't want to get on like that sort of tired, you know, how many Man City. But it's just amazing how fluid the template is right now. I mean, it feels like already after a week, we're not talking about having three Man City midfielders, right? It's like – I feel like now we're talking about, all right, maybe some combination of Sané and Felipe Anderson and maybe hold on to Salah now, you know? I mean, it's very, you know, I don't know. It feels like very up in the air, all these. So, okay, let's try to why don't we try to rank these maybe? Maybe that's like one way to look about it. Okay. I mean,
sure.
I know that they're all different prices, which does sort of throw things off a little bit. I will note, by the way, that do you now know, Brendan, who the number one overall player is in terms of total points on the season?
Yeah, so the Egyptian king, Mohamed Salah.
That's right. He is five clear of Raheem Sterling. So for all of the like Sturm and Drang about how expensive Salah is, he is now number one overall. I mean, sure, he's still expensive, but man, it's not a bad season for him, right? I mean, 10 goals and 5 assists. It's not quite as good as last season, but it's pretty solid. So, all right. So if we're ranking these five, who goes first? Do you put Sterling at the top of this list?
I think I do. I mean, watching Man City fall to Chelsea was a little bit like, you know, watching your dad get beat at basketball or something like that.
You're, so, I wonder somebody if you're going to add an at something, or if you're just going to leave it at.
You know, you just watching your heroes fail, your FPL mm-hmm. heroes fail, and our resolve is waning a little bit. So all that said, I would agree that Sterling is number one here. He's just like in the best attack. He's he just has the this great free role within Man City, which I really love. And yeah, he's on it, like much like Salah, who I think could be, I would say, as a close second, has a just one previous season to show that he can do it.
What about, do you think that it's reasonable, though, to say that he is better with Aguero in the team? I mean, I do think that the Aguero injury hurts him a little bit. You know, I think that he is really he's like an absolute genius at floating into space that the defenses forget about because they're focused on Aguero or, you know, or like some forward in the Man City attack. And then suddenly yeah. it's like, you know, Sané like floats across through. Aguero's got two defenders covering him, and Sterling has like a, you know, an unmarked tap in, you know, at the far post. Like, I feel like we've seen that kind of goal, you know, 30 times over the last couple of seasons. And so, you know, obviously we saw the false nine thing not really work out for him. I don't know. I mean, do you think, yeah. is there any concern that his value is, even with these amazing fixtures coming up, is his value at all diminished by Aguero not, you know, being there to take some of the attacking burden off of them?
Yeah, we did see them do it against Bournemouth, that 3-1 victory over Bournemouth where Sané and Sterling really did the business. And then he was rested against Watford. So we don't know what we could say about how Sterling would perform without Aguero there. And his first match playing the false nine was against Chelsea in 16. And that's mm-hmm. really all we have to go on there. And Chelsea just seemed to have their number on that particular day.
Right. Heroic defending. Great match.
Yeah. I just don't know that we have enough information to emphatically say that that's a problem. I'd say it's mm-hmm. a concern, but it looks like Aguero, if he's not back for game week 17, that he'll be back soon. So I'm not looking to panic on Sterling, and maybe we have to suffer through one more week of uncertainty in terms of how they'll line up and how Sterling will perform. But
he's
still in that position for me.
No, I think I would actually rank him the highest as well. I mean, their fixtures over the holidays are you know, really nice and easy, and they're actually fairly spaced out, you know. And if you compare them to some of the other teams, they're actually it's a little bit better, you know. It's a mm-hmm. little more and, you know, including this Liverpool fixture in game week 21, which you assume he'll play for because that's like a possible, you know, title decider. So I do like him. I actually think Sané probably belongs in this discussion as well, as just like a uh-huh. unbelievably important and like a player who's going to be very hard for Pep not to play him a lot, just given how he sort of fits in that team, you know, and yep. like how yeah. important it is to have somebody on that left channel who can cross the ball in. So let's agree with Sterling at the top.
I think okay, it gets second, harder here.
Yeah. It gets harder. Yeah. I'm debating between Kane and Salah right now. I don't know if those mm-hmm. are the two that you're debating between as well.
Yeah, it is tricky. I think it's Salah easy for me just based on, as you said, that sub performance against Burnley was mm-hmm. Burnley and his hat trick over the weekend. He those are two emphatic statements that he's made, and if we're going to see more of that, even like every other week, he'll continue to cruise into the top spot FPL points wise, and you have to have him. So he's number two with an eye on number one for me. And we've talked ad nauseum about how Kane has looked fatigued all season. And despite all that, he managed to return in five of the last 6 weeks. You know, not big double digit hauls, save what was it, game week 15, in which he had his double digit haul. But
yeah,
I think it's kind of a miracle that we would, and I would rank Kane number three. I don't see it super close between him and Salah right now.
It's interesting. No, I don't either. Although, I mean, part of this might just be that the fixtures are so, like, Kane got his rest finally, right? He finally got rested. And it's now they play Barcelona, right? Which is, you know, the big reason why he was rested. Obviously, they play him on Tuesday. We'll know. But you know, by the time you listen to this podcast, you may already know how that match went. But, you know, assuming that he gets through that match unscathed, you've got Burnley, Bournemouth, and Wolverhampton at home in three of the next four. And you've got Everton away in game week 18, which isn't that's a match I would expect them to win as well. So you've got and then they've got Cardiff in game week 20. So you've got five great fixtures. There's not a single bad fixture in their next five, and he's already been rested. Right. So if we assume that he is getting close to being sort of back to where he was, and, you know, him scoring just a goal in open play with Eriksen, I thought was really encouraging. I was like, okay, fine. Like, this guy can, like, he can, it's not just penalties for him. Like, he actually played reasonably well. He set up Son for a nice goal as well in game week 15. So I think, you know, it looks like he's back. I actually wonder if he played well enough that Poch felt like he could rest him, you know, just like, okay, like, he's kind of rediscovered his form. We don't need, you know, like, let's like bottle that up, you know, like, okay, we don't need to, you know, I don't know. Like, sometimes I feel like, you know, players need to, like, they need to have a good match, you know, sort of get their confidence back up a little bit.
Yep.
So
of these guys, I feel like over the holidays, Kane is probably the most bankable, the least explosive, but the most bankable. I would expect to see among the most consistent returns from Kane. Which is, like, I'm really nervous not having him right now, and this is a new feeling to me this season.
Yeah.
So, well, it's just looking at these fixtures.
Yeah. I mean, so we talk about, you know, so I have Sterling. So I have Kane, I have Salah, and I have Aubameyang. I probably put Aubameyang fourth and Hazard fifth. I don't know if you feel the same there. Just to finish our ranking,
I would
quickly.
Totally. Yep. Yeah, totally.
Right. So I have 2, 3, and 4, and I don't have 1. You know, of this ranking of 5. And, you know, James Quirrell says, you know, talking about these heavy hitters, is it just a case of picking your horses and hiding behind the sofa more often than ever before? Now, Brandon, you and I both, neither of us like the sofa thing, right? Like, we wish that would go away.
Yeah. can we move on to a different piece of furniture? Yeah. And also, all these sofas are, what house do you walk into where the sofa isn't pressed up against a wall? If you're getting behind a sofa, you're rearranging your whole living room. Everyone you live with is going to be really upset with you.
This could be the living in New York thing, Brandon, here. I think where people have homes, sometimes the sofa. Anyway, some of the people have multiple sofas, Brandon, if you can believe that.
So I want my new hiding behind the sofa is just going and standing in the backyard or the garden, as you call it elsewhere.
I like to, if I'm really nervous, I like to watch a match on my phone instead of on a TV or computer. I find that the phone gives me some emotional distance, and I can flip the phone over if I'm getting nervous or if I'm upset. It's pathetic. I mean, I'm in my mid 30s. Like, I should not be doing this anymore, but that kind of works best for me.
I do think it is the case where, as we established, we can't have them all. So there will be numerous weeks upcoming in which you don't have one of these big heavy hitters.
Right.
And you just have to hope. It kind of sucks if you're playing in a head-to-head league where you really want to compete week to week. But I think most of us are playing the long game, and you just have to trust in the decisions that you made for the long play.
Yeah, I agree. And I just don't think – I mean, okay, if you don't have three of these five, like Brandon, like, I think you're in the situation right now, you really want to get, you want to get to three of these. You
have
two out of the five.
Yeah. Just, so if you don't just have Salah and Sterling,
yeah. So it's like the goal is to get to three, and then and I think that's it. And you just have to ride it out, and, like, they're all going to get roped. I mean, you could try to shuffle them in and out each game week, and it sounds like so, like. Like, it feels like a recipe for disaster to, like, bring someone in for 1 week, and then you're going to drop and you're going to bring in someone else the next week. And especially because we're comparing midfielders and forwards here, like, you can't, it's, you know, we're talking about two transfers in some of these cases, you know? So I don't know. It just doesn't really work, I don't think. And also, like, you know, you're obviously going to lose any price, like, any value that you built up in these players as well. So, yeah. And then Aguero, I think, you know, AJ asked if if Aguero persists in the false nine, does he become more valuable?
Hazard.
Of course. Yeah, if Hazard Persis and the False Dynasty more valuable. I mean, it's kind of the funny thing is, of course, that he didn't even like he didn't score a goal, right? I mean, you know, he got one assist on a corner kick, and well, I didn't
don't
actually
we see this every season with Hazard. Yeah. He gets 1 or 2 weeks at the False Nine, and it never works.
Yeah, yeah. Although I guess it did work, whether he liked it or not. There was an amazing TV moment near the end of the first half where, you know, Chelsea are attacking. I mean, Man City's defense did not look super hot in this game. So Chelsea are attacking, and suddenly Hazard gets into a great spot. He rolls the ball across the 18-yard box, and the camera like hasn't quite caught up to what's going on. So there's this moment where the ball is just it's just rolling for like what feels like 8 seconds, and you're like, is anyone going to get there or not? Like, is someone coming? You know, and then suddenly like Conte like bursts into the frame
of
and,
all people
and smashes the ball. I mean, like, it smashes the ball. Like, I feel like you see, like, if that's Andros Townsend, like, that ball is still up in the air, right? Like, that ball never comes down, but he just
smashes, a Verizon satellite just got sent out of orbit.
But Conte smashes an unstoppable shot. It was such a beautiful moment. It was like, and this has nothing to do with fantasy, but just as a TV moment, it was so great. I mean, I'm not like a fan of Man City, Liverpool, or Chelsea, but just I want a title race, you know, and just like that moment, you're like, okay, maybe Chelsea can actually win this game. And then Azpilicueta was just it was so amazing in the second half. It was just incredible.
I think just to answer AJ's question, I think Hazard has, as we've seen over the last month, reverted back to his mercurial self, and for all these other options that are on play, I just don't think it's justifiable to focus an FPL team on Hazard right now, even if he is the focal point of Chelsea's attack. Yeah, you make the important distinction, Josh, that it did work for Chelsea as a team IRL, but it's not going to work for Hazard FPL wise if they continue to play this formation. Who knows what happens in January if they get, you know, how do you feel about this rumor that Callum Wilson might move to Chelsea? That seems a little far-fetched.
Yeah, I don't like taking any of that stuff seriously until it actually happens, you know? Like, also, Bournemouth, like, they can just handle that? Like, they can just, like, I mean, are they that...
Jermaine Defoe just waiting in the wings, man.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Yeah, I guess it depends. You know, he's probably going to be out for the next 12 weeks with a hamstring injury, Brandon, so, you know, who knows?
All right, speaking of... not speaking of anything, but FPL Rich here is a question that is near and dear to my heart. Lacazette... bought him last week for a hit, persevere or immediately dump and cut my losses. Mm-hmm. It's very cold, but I do believe that what we feared about my thinking in bringing Lacazette in was he was coming back from injury. He looked healthy like the week, three game weeks ago. He came in as a sub and he looked healthy. And there was this great patch of form for Arsenal earlier in the season where both Aubameyang and Lacazette were playing. They were playing off of each other. And I thought, let's get the band back together. This is going to happen. This is a budget way into all these goals.
Yeah.
Our worst fear came true and that Emery seems to have found a way around playing two up front or playing Aubameyang on the wing, or he prefers Aubameyang in the middle at this point. So it's just, it's bad. I could try to suffer another week of this, but it feels bad right now. And I think I'm ready to burn four to get him out.
It does. I mean, you hear Emery talking about how Aubameyang can compete for the Golden Boot this year. And it kind of feels like Aubameyang is he's their Kane, right? Like for better or worse, it's like he's the player that they've decided, like, we can move him around, you know, like we'll put him up front, we'll put him out wide, but like he is the player that we're going to play every single week, you know. I mean, obviously he did come off the bench a couple of times too, but it does seem like he's really solidified a starting spot in that team. So
here's the devil's advocate though, Lacazette is still good, and he is much better than, say, Llorente on Spurs. Mm-hmm. So if you say Aubameyang is Arsenal's Kane, he is Kane. If there was a really decent striker just behind him, Kane is Kane and he doesn't really get rotated. But where I'm going with this is what's pulling me toward Kane is we're heading into this crazy, or I mean, we're in the middle of this crazy December holiday fixture mess in which we're going to see, we've already seen a ton of rotation. Mm-hmm. I feel like even if they don't play at the same time, Laka and Aubameyang, we're going to see a couple of points in which Lacazette outshines Aubameyang or even starts in place of Aubameyang.
Right.
And I'm finding myself gravitating toward the low risk, high reward option in Harry Kane.
Sterling, Sal, and Snod, dude. Do it. Dude, I want that. I want that midfield for you. Final question is from Thorleaf Oyen. He says, how screwed are us Salah sellers now? Now, Brandon, let's spare a thought for Tom Cantle, our friend, who had a very, very rough game week. And the thing is, I wouldn't have sold Salah. I mean, I would say I captained him this weekend. I wouldn't have sold him before the Bournemouth fixture. But, you know, moving Salah to Sterling, in theory, is a very smart long-term play, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's a very smart – it's a play that certainly makes sense, right? It's not like an insane move to make. And I think that my feeling is you've already made the move. You know, they're probably going to score roughly the same number of points. I wouldn't try to move him back, you know. He's 1.4 million cheaper. So, you know, there's some more money to reinvest elsewhere. It's kind of like, I feel like if you have one or the other, you just have to stick with them now, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you recently got rid of Salah, I don't know if it's going to be that hard to bring him back in, because his price at 13 million is fixed. He's coming off of a hat trick in which he dominated the game week, and he's, according to FPLstatistics.co.uk, he's nowhere close to his price going up. Like, one, if you don't have him, you can't afford him. And if you have him, you're not selling him. But if you recently sold him, you can buy him back. It's not like, you know what they say about cars, like they diminish in value the moment you drive them off of the lot. That's right. Not the case with Salah. Salah is still, you can take Salah back to the car dealership 10 years later. He's still worth exactly the same. So I feel
like Patrick Van Aanholt. Always the same price.
You can't, you can still turn back time if you regret that decision. And if you have a feeling like you want him back. Yeah. I think that this is, moves like this can be key to your season where the feeling that you have to just stick by that decision you made, even though there's a lingering feeling that it was the wrong decision. There's nothing bad about admitting maybe you made a wrong decision and you need to go back on that. Now, I mean, as you're saying with Tom, he sold Salah for Sterling. Well, you sold a great player for another great player. So you just stay, right?
You don't. So yeah, it's tough, but I don't think, I mean, the Salah seller is, I don't want to repeat everything you just said, but yeah, it's an interesting position. Like basically it feels good to have Salah, and if I didn't have him, I probably wouldn't bring him in, you know, which is just a weird thing. You'd think it would have to be one or the other, but it's, it's interesting. All right, Brandon, final question before we take a break. Oshan Ghosh says, how much attention should I pay to price rises at this time of the year? It feels like I'm getting bullied into making or considering changes that are non-essential simply because there are players who look like they're going to be flat out unaffordable in a few weeks. Now, there was, Brandon, almost an amazing moment where Aubameyang rose more in 1 week than he scored in 1 week. He had risen 0.5 and he was looking like he was going to be on 4 points for the game week until that late assist. Have you ever seen a player rise? I mean, I know we had a midweek fixture, which allowed him to go up again, but I can't remember ever seeing a player rise 0.5 in 1 week.
I saw Ben Krellen posted on his Twitter feed that his team value within 1 week went up by 1.4 million.
Wow.
Truly insane value. The market is crazy right now, Josh. It's very is it a bullish market? If it's going like this, I think it's bullish.
Yes, it is. Yes. So and Aubameyang has risen again. Actually, so he's gone from 10.9 to 11.5 in 8 days.
Yeah, amazingly, emoji for me. Please.
I know it's ridiculous. Right. And so I guess the flip side here is that these players will fall as fast as they rise. Right.
Yeah.
Like he'll get benched once and he'll drop 0.2 or something like that. Right.
Yeah.
Like it feels like it's so swingy that you can't really pay. I don't know. I mean, what do you think? I mean, I guess I'll ask you the question. I mean, are you making moves earlier? Has it changed your strategy at all? Like it does feel very volatile. I agree.
I was waiting out for more news on Martial, and I could see all these price changes happening, and I saw other players. They were probably already out of my reach, but to see Kane and Aubameyang making those moves, and I was just waiting and watching Martial diminish in value.
Yeah,
I wasn't able to play. It was frustrating, but that said, I had to wait. As we're talking about all these players that you could bring in, form and on top of just fitness is going to be crucial. And I don't want to make a rash decision when we've got all these fixtures coming up. So I am erring on the side of caution right now. Take a look at your team value right now. I hope that a lot of us have some team value that has accrued, and take heart in that. What you're really playing team value for is when you play your late season wild card. That's when you're really going to need it. It's
what
not
is your,
all going to happen.
What is your team value right now? What is yours at this moment?
I think I've taken quite a few hits on team value. Right, I'm at 103.7.
I'm at 103.5. So, I mean, I don't even think that puts us in the top bracket of price changes. I don't know. Yeah.
If you go to the front page of the FPL site, the top team value is 109.1. But these are all teams that they're just playing a complete separate game to us.
Right.
It's just how do I get the highest team value, just making, burning zillions of points and transfers anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess I'm dancing around it, but my answer to this is right now at this point, I am playing a patience game. Mm-hmm. It is frustrating that a guy like Aubameyang is getting farther and farther out of my reach, but that's just the way it is. I think there are other options out there.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we had FPL General on a podcast last year, and we talked about this, and he basically said as much. It was just that he doesn't follow the price change. I feel like we've referenced a lot of people, by the way, in this, but this is a very reference heavy podcast. Got a lot of friends, Brandon. He said that he doesn't pay too much attention to the price changes, and it just feels like if someone's out of his price, he just moves on to the next. You know, he doesn't try to target in too much on two players, just, you know, on one particular player. It's just who is the best player I can get for the funds available, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to burn four to do it.
Yeah. That's a great way of putting it. All right. So shall we move on to the lightning round?
Let's do it.
Cash games, free games, mini league contests. These are all open and available to you via the Starting 11 Live Premier League Fantasy app, available for your iOS or Android device. Josh, if I said download Starting 11 now, are you downloading it for your iPhone or your Android? Who are you? How do you identify?
I'm going to do both. I'm going to download it to play on my, for cash games on my iOS, but then I'm also going to download it on my burner Android so that I can play that way too. So I'm going to do it all, Brandon. I don't know how many burner phones you have personally. I've got about four, but all five of my phones, the four burners and the regular one, all have Starting 11 on it.
I actually just came from a truck stop, so I have like a trunk full of like 25 burner phones right now. So I'm going to be joining all sorts of Starting 11 mini leagues. Yeah, so just to refresh your memory, if you're on iOS, cash games are live now in the UK, US, Canada, and Germany. If you're on Android, you can play cash games live in the UK, or just pick up the app for your Android and play for free wherever you are. We love Starting 11. We love the new mini league feature. This app is so beautifully designed. It's a joy to set a new best 11-man squad every day in which there are two or more Premier League matches happening. There's no budget restrictions. The scoring is really fun. It's all positive. How many times did a shot hit the crossbar this game week? Technically, that's a shot off target. But in Starting 11, your players accumulate points even for shots off target. So it's rewarding any kind of attacking play. Yep. So yeah, just go to the App Store for your Apple device or the Google Play Store and download Starting 11.
Yep. And yeah, exactly. And if you want to learn anything more about it, you just go to Starting 11. That's starting11.io. It's a tutorial, walks through the entire process, explains mini leagues, a ton more. And Brandon, as we've said many times before in the podcast, don't waste your money gambling on things you don't understand. You're listening to a fantasy Premier League podcast. Gamble on fantasy sports. It just makes sense. All right, Brandon, we're back. We've got a lightning round of questions. As always, Brandon, every question gets a 30-second response or less. Sometimes it's 1 second, Brandon. Sometimes it is 1 single second.
It's just me grunting.
Just you grunting approval or disapproval. First question from Adam P. He says, seriously this time, Torreira?
Three attacking returns in 3 weeks. That's 2 goals and 1 assist. This guy is on fire. He is like quickly becoming the talisman of Arsenal. Like, has there been a quicker rise to talismanic figure than Torreira at Arsenal?
Do you remember when you and I saw him at the Arsenal Fulham game? Now, I am in love with Torreira. Like, he is he is maybe my favorite player in the league already. I've been looking for someone to love since Santi Cazorla left. You know, I love Santi, and it's, you know, I'm happy that he's healthy and playing again in the Liga.
He has his health.
He's moved on. Thank you. Know, good for him. But Torreira is amazing. He's about 4'9" and he's
a small man.
He weighs about 3 stone or thereabouts. I think that's like 18 pounds in American. He's a tiny little man. So when we saw him at the Fulham Arsenal game, you were actually scared for him. Remember, you were like, he's too small.
He's going to get hurt out there. I was like his mom. I was like, Torreira, my boy, get out of there. You're going to get hurt.
So we were talking before about how Sterling floats into space sometimes. I mean, he does kind of have an ability to do this. And I was talking to someone about this yesterday, and I was like, well, like, eventually you would think that, you know, the teams are going to learn how to mark him better. But I think he's so small that I think they just forget about him. He kind of like slips into – like, how does he – in that Huddersfield game, how does he – I mean, he scored an unmarked overhead kick in the 88th minute. It was amazing. It was like – yeah, I mean, it was just beautiful. That was like I don't know. I don't know if you'd already given up on FPL by then, but it was a beautiful moment.
Among other things, to be fair, though, he is one of their deepest lying midfielders. He's developing a reputation for sort of crashing the boards. But these players, you see Conte doing the same thing against Man City, crashing in, and the defenses are already trying to pick up a guy that they're marking. Everything's moving so fast. And yeah, these guys, these defensive midfielders just come crashing in. And I think it's quite easy for them to speed past these big defenders.
Hoiberg does this sometimes too, maybe from a little further out, but you know, they kind of fill the space, you know, and try to like unleash it. I mean, actually, you know, Torreira almost had a goal in the first half too. And amazing, you know, got like all the leather on the ball. I don't know if you saw that. It forced a really good stop at a loss hole.
All right. So we were at 25 seconds. So in the next 5 seconds, could you answer Adam's question?
Yeah. I wish he was cheaper. I wish he was like 4.6 or something. At 5 million, it feels a little pricey for someone who's a defensive midfielder. Probably going to pick up yellow cards.
It's a price tag where you start looking for guys like Snodgrass who have set pieces. That's like a set piece merchant price tag.
Yeah, he was 4.9 a couple weeks ago, and that felt a little more palatable. I mean, all you have to do with look at his numbers for the season, you know, I mean, 2-2-2-2, you know, he had picked up 2 points in 8 out of 9 fixtures, you know. It's not like this guy, you know, it's a nice run, but I don't think it's gonna last.
Next question is from the Dork Lord. Pod question is Fanderson. I am anti. I think you agree with me. No portmanteaus of names.
Nope. Not a fan. Nope.
So Felipe Anderson, a must? Is he a must? Even potential captain against the terrible, I take offense to this, terrible Fulham defense. and some personal advice. We'll get to your personal advice in a moment, Dork Lord. But Felipe Anderson, I think we both agree this guy's the real deal. Would you captain him against Fulham if you had him?
No, probably not. I have Kane though, and he's, you know, got a great. There's a lot of good. There's very captainable fixtures all over the place. I mean, you've got a, you know, the Southampton fixture is very captainable for Arsenal players. Obviously, the Everton, the Man City at home to Everton. It's annoying. Actually, it's another example of the FPL game actually getting a price right.
Yeah,
I thought that Anderson was way too expensive coming into the season at 7 million, and now it looks like a possible bargain, right? I mean, it's got you know what, three goals and 1 assist in the last 5. Probably going to be, you know, counted even more so.
Yeah,
with Arne out.
I would look at it this way, and that he's just shy of 16% ownership. I think his ownership is low enough where he's still a decent differential for you without the armband. So that's
also low enough. I was going to say he's also low enough ownership that you probably don't have to consider him essential, right? Mm-hmm. If his ownership is in that 30-40% range, then you're like, maybe I've got to find a way to get this guy into my team.
And what do you call a guy like that, Josh? You call him a differential.
That's right. All right, Brandon, next question. Byron Bruce says, question for the pod. Those of us who've decided it's time to move up Patricio, who is the best replacement, Fabianski, Foster, or an upgrade to Ederson or Allison? Are we done with Fabianski? Is that over?
Hard to say. Only two clean sheets on the season for West Ham thus far. But, mm-hmm. I mean, we say it every week. West Ham's fixtures are endlessly delightful. Fulham, Watford, Southampton, Burnley, Brighton. Mm-hmm. I think it's a luxury move to move Fabianski out. I think you'll...
he's talking about moving Fabianski in.
Oh, moving him in?
Yeah. Patricio out, Fab in.
Oh, well, yeah, okay, yeah. No, I think I'm on... Well, I would say the same thing about Patricio. Patricio's fixtures are not nearly as good with Liverpool and Spurs in the next four. Right.
Yeah, but West Ham was... Like, I just feel like we're dancing around the problem here, which is that West Ham's defense is not good. It is not a good defense. Yeah. It isn't. And they play a 40-year-old Pablo Zabaleta way too much. It's just they're not good. I've had Fabianski. I've played him for a bunch of matches. I lucked into a penalty save a couple game weeks ago. But their fixtures are fine. I'm probably going to keep starting him a lot of these matches. But their defense is not good. Don't bring in any of their defenders. Like, let's just end it right there.
Yeah. I guess if you don't already have West Ham, then maybe don't get involved. Point, and which the larger point is, these are all luxury moves. Just stick with Patricio. It's not going to get any better unless you upgrade to Allison. Is the one that I would say is the best looking goalkeeper pick. Looking at Liverpool, I don't know that I want any other attacking asset other than Salah, which leaves me two slots for defensive assets with Liverpool, one of the best defenses in the league. So you go Trent, you go Rabo, and Allison. I like that move. If you really feel bad about Patricio, I feel like you have to upgrade. Otherwise, you're just going to go be disappointed on some other team.
Yeah. I think I like the Allison move as well, actually. I think that's Ederson too, either one, really. I think Allison's a little cheaper, so maybe that's like the tiebreaker. Adam P. says, are Man United's attackers, thinking of Rashford, given his price, a valid option? Now, you and I actually talked about Rashford on Friday night. We were watching Nicolas Cage's Mandy. And I was basically like, I kind of want to bring him in, but I don't have the guts because my like transfer confidence is off right now. And I think this is, again, another example of being too results oriented, though. Like, yeah, I see one point from Jimenez, 14 points from Rashford. I mean, just because a player scores more points doesn't mean you made the wrong transfer. You know, I think that sometimes I don't know. I mean, like, if Jimenez plays that entire match, maybe he gets close to matching him. And, you know, what was most important is that Jimenez is, you know, 0.8 cheaper than Rashford, and he's, you know, a million cheaper than Callum Wilson. And that million is going to allow me to possibly move David Silva to Sané this week, which I might need to do if Silva's out. So, I don't know. I think, how did I start talking about myself? I don't know. Anyway, do I think that Man United's players are worth owning?
Answer the question, Joshua.
Yeah, not really. No, I mean,
no, they're not. Rashford played better against, to go back to the Dork Lord. Mm-hmm. He refers to Fulham's defense as, and I repeat, terrible. I would agree with you, Dork Lord. You did get it right. The goal that Rashford scored at the end of that match was ludicrous. I mean, Rico is one of the worst goalkeepers this league has seen since Brad Guzan was starting for Aston Villa. the Rashford, if you had him for the Fulham match, good for you. Fantastic. I don't see it happening again anytime soon.
Okay. Yeah. And the Martial thing, I guess I just have to see where his health is. I mean, he's still good value at 7.5 million, but
yeah.
The problem there too is that forward line. It's like, what's going on? I mean, Lukaku is not going to continue to. I guess he has actually started three of the last four, hasn't he? I don't know.
Did you see this headline that Lukaku says he has to drop all the muscle that he took on for the World Cup? So yeah. It was like he was training like Sylvester Stallone for Copland. He's like, I've got to just put on an extra weight for the Christmas, World Cup.
Yeah, Rocky IV, like Christmas Day, he's like up in the mountains. Like, so, I mean, what, like the season ends in May. The World Cup's like a month and a half later. Like, how much muscle can you put on in 6 weeks? It's not like, is he like eating creatine or something? That doesn't make any sense.
In Mean Girls where she eats they keep telling her they're protein bars, but they're just high in calories.
All right, so we've slagged off Fulham, Man United, and West Ham already.
Who's
in the session. Matthew Hall says, given the fixture, should Richarlison owners swap him to Anderson? Should I group those Anderson questions together? What do you think, Brandon? Richarlison to Anderson?
No, Everton's upcoming fixtures are City and then Spurs, so Richarlison looks good.
That's what he's asking. Yeah, like, would you swap Richarlison to Anderson? No, I don't think I would. I would just wait it out. I mean, yeah, the fixtures they're not great, but I mean, only one of them is away. They're home to Spurs, and then there's this amazing run, right? I mean, basically, after they play Spurs at home in Game Week 18, they don't have a bad fixture until Game Week 27. Yeah. They have until almost the end of February before they have a bad game.
I don't know. I'll just take the other side. And I think that's an interesting hokey-cokey move to do 2 weeks mm-hmm. with Philippe Anderson. If you have no other fires to put out on your team, I like that calculated risk.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess I don't know that
Richarlison's going to shift in value unless he does something amazing in the next two fixtures.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate it, but it does seem risky. And yeah, especially because Richarlison's ownership, his ownership and his price is going to keep rising and rising.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the same is true of Philippe Anderson. Gibran Chata says, if you have a 6 to 7 million striker who is hurt, as many of them are, and with no obvious replacement in the same bracket, do you move to Rondon, Jimenez, Ings, or just move down to a 4.5 million bench guy, possibly Kamara, and pump the funds elsewhere? Kamara on pens, Brandon.
Yeah,
that was weird.
Yeah, it was weird, but there was nobody good on the pitch for Fulham to take a pen.
Yeah.
No Kearney, no Mitrovic. Sure, Kamara, have fun. I think we say it time and again with guys like Kamara and success. These are guys that you're gonna have to wait until your next wild card to get them out of your team, because once mm-hmm. you start, you just hem these guys in and you can't get them out because you build around 4.5 and there's no way to get them out. So no, I would say Jimenez looks like astounding value still, and the Wolves seem like they're picking up some momentum here. He had a nice tidy little rest.
Yeah, Jimenez just got rested. It's like a kind of up and down run for Wolves, but I do kind of feel like this Wolves attack, and they can score on anybody. I mean, they've already scored on what? They scored at home to Man City earlier this season.
Scored on Spurs.
Yeah, scored against Man United. Jimenez is borderline fixture, but partially because he's not that expensive. You know, I mean, so you can kind of, mm-hmm. you know, if you get a 2-pointer from Jimenez, it's not going to ruin your day because you're never captaining him, you know, so. All right, so we agree on Jimenez. Siddharth Awati says, what would you tell people who have Fraser, to do with Wilson? What do you tell the Fraser folks, Brandon?
Okay, so the assumption here is you have both Fraser and, well, I regardless of who else you have, if you have Fraser, you hold on to this guy. He's incredible value. Bournemouth are a weird team, but they're a really attacking team, and Fraser continues to put out attacking points.
Yeah, I actually would consider if Silva is healthy for this weekend, I might consider just staying with David Silva and moving one of my underperforming midfielders mm-hmm. over. I've got this weird, I've got this kind of over. I've got an old fashioned lineup right now with the big heavy hitters up front and Kane and Aubameyang. So I kind of need a cheap third or fourth. I mean, I actually think I probably only feel like I really need three midfielders because I love my defense right now. And mm-hmm. I want to play four at the back a lot of the time. So, but I do need a third defender who can actually get me some points. And with Brooks and Kennedy, it's just like, it's a little too, those picks, like they're too trendy. Like they're not really like consistent. I need Decore level value, you know, poor Decore, like never, no one ever talks about, right? He just keeps like racking up goals and assists and nobody yep. ever talks about him. Yep. But I need like someone who I can count on a little more. And I think I have to go up into that 6 million bracket to do it. So that's like a topic for a different podcast though. All right, Brandon, Mark Perez, a couple more questions here. Mark Perez says, are you ready to stomach your pride? Speaking of alternative options, Brandon, mm-hmm. are you ready to stomach your pride, forgive, and welcome back Diogo Jota?
No Jota for me. I'm not on board with Jota. We remember. We have monuments built to the fallen kingdom of Jota from earlier this mm-hmm. season.
Sure.
One little game week all is not forgiven. And like we were just saying, Jimenez, you don't need to overload on Wolves attack. There are two guys that you need from this team if you want to go that far, and that's Jimenez and Doherty.
Right.
So I can't talk about Wolves players beyond that.
I'm glad that he's finally performing. I mean, it's nice to see a player in that bracket. I would consider him for sure. I don't think that he's like I wouldn't reject him at a turn necessarily, but I agree. I'm not like, you know, I'm not going to burn four to bring him in or like that, but I think that he just, it's like he had to like find his feet a little bit in the league or something, you know? And I don't know, maybe he's finally done it, or maybe it's just a little blip and that's going to be all it is. I don't know. We'll see. It's a wait and see on him, right?
Yes, it is a wait and see. I guess 2-2, you have to put him on the watch list, but that's as far as he gets.
All right, two final questions here, Brandon. They're both Christmas related. Espen Larson says, which player would you like to give you a Christmas gift?
I have two answers for this question.
Okay.
And they're both ends of the spectrum. The first is N'Golo Kante, because I understand that he's quite frugal with his money. He like drives a smart car around, but he's also a team player. So I feel like a guy who's a team player, he's thinking about other people and means he probably gives good gifts, and he's got a lot of money laying around to spend it on. The other end of the spectrum, though, is Paul Pogba. This guy is just flashy. And if anyone's going to give me a Lamborghini for Christmas, it's probably going to be Pogba. So I have to choose between those two.
This is amazing. I feel like I had the same answer for this question and the next question, and it's Juan Mata.
It's your answer to every question.
It's my answer to every question. I just feel like he's – I guess I kind of want to – like if I could be any player in the Premier League, I could probably pick him. I just feel like he's about my height, you know. He like seems pretty fashionable. I feel like he would get me like a smart jacket or something.
A smart jacket, or you could wear his jacket if you guys are the same size.
Yeah, I think he'd get me like a tech coat, you know, like a cool like a winter coat that like a rain jacket or something, a cool tech jacket.
I like it. Now the next Christmas related question comes from Lyle Axelaris. Which Premier League player makes the best eggnog?
So, again, you know, Mata seems like a guy who'd be handy in the kitchen, but I don't want to keep picking Juan Mata for every single question. Yeah. Am I in love with Juan Mata? Sure I am.
But let's move on. This is some single white female stuff here, Jeff.
I need to think about this one for a second. You answer first.
Okay.
To me,
the answer is obvious here. Who drinks port? Who drinks port out of a Lucozade bottle? It's Jamie Vardy. Mm-hmm. This guy knows how to get down. He knows how to drink. So I want to go to a party, and if I see Jamie Vardy at a party mixing up something in a big punch bowl, I know it's going to be good. So that's my answer.
I like that. I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to go with Sam Allardyce, a guy who I feel like would really spike the eggnog and really go for it. And he seems like a fun guy, like a holiday party with. Didn't he famously cancel the holiday party for West Ham like 2 years ago? So he's got a lot of party energy stored up, I assume. He's ready for a big blowout.
It's a lot been a long time, Josh, since I've been able to have a Christmas party. So here, have a pint of eggnog.
It's like, how long did you live in England for? I mean, that accent is unbelievable. I'm in like a My Fair Lady or something. It's incredible.
There you go.
Gay Week 17, Brandon, kicks off Man City and Everton play the early fixture. Are you planning to captain Raheem Sterling?
I am not. I think despite what happened with Mo Salah in game week 16, I still have a problem captaining the first fixture. And, mm-hmm. you know, you're given pause because Raheem Sterling, even though it's just one game week, he's out of form. Maybe let's see what happens midweek in the Champions League. But I don't want to captain a guy in the first fixture who blanked in abysmal fashion against Chelsea. Hmm.
Okay, interesting. I'm surprised. I feel like if I had him, he would be the player that I would captain this game week.
Why? You really think that lowly of the Everton defense?
Well, I mean, I don't think they're great. The defense is great, but I also just feel like Man City are like scoring five or six at home against everybody, right? Yeah. I mean, they're just like, you know, they're just so good at home. So, you know, he seems very likely to start. Even if he starts in the Champions League tomorrow, I think he's likely to start this weekend. I mean, if I bring in Leroy Sané, I mean, I'm probably going to captain Kane this weekend, but I might vice captain Sané if I had him. I guess it's always risky to vice captain a Man City player, isn't it? Like, yeah. There's just always, you know. but I think, yeah, I mean, I need to have somebody in this match is kind of my feeling.
I just see two much better fixtures to captain, even though Arsenal are away on Sunday. They play Southampton mm-hmm. and Spurs at home to Burnley. So I would zero in on those two. Everton are just a little too much of an enigma for me to know how to play against them FPL-wise.
They have played the top teams pretty well. I mean, they did keep Chelsea scoreless.
Nearly a scoreless draw against Liverpool at Anfield.
That is true. It's interesting. Yeah, that I wonder if they just really open it up more against smaller teams. I don't know. It's interesting that they could keep Liverpool and Man City scoreless for 179 minutes and I don't know. Yeah, that is weird. I just don't have like a firm read on this defense. I mean, I really like Lucas Digne because he's on a lot of set pieces and free kicks, and you know, it's you always want that second way that you can get points. I mean Matt Doherty is the best example of this, right? Where this guy is just like, you basically have him for goals at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and like a clean sheet is just like a fun bonus that you occasionally
get. The Irish Marcus Alonso. Yeah.
I mean, he's reaching like never bench territory, right? Like where you
start
him every single game week.
Yeah. I'm not saying if you have Man City attackers, you have to sell them before they come up against the juggernaut that is Everton.
I'm not taking it that way. I mean, I hear what you're saying. Like there's just concern about form. Maybe he was rested and then he blanked and he didn't look that good in the Chelsea match either. Yeah. But
I've got a couple defensive questions for you looking at these matches. So Palace defense hosting Leicester. Wan-Bissaka, you were pointing out just like a cascade of one pointers. I would consider starting him against Leicester, a Jamie Vardy-less Leicester.
I probably am going to start him, but I mean, how can you feel good about it right now? they kept a clean sheet at home to Burnley a couple weekends ago. It's not like they can't do it. I probably will start him. My current formation, I've got four. My bus team, Brandon, has four at the back right now.
Indeed.
So we'll see.
I guess I just had one defensive question for you, and that was it. Asked and answered.
Okay. Other fixtures. It's kind of interesting. You've got some like a lot of mid-table clashes during the dance. We've got Palace, Leicester, Huddersfield, Newcastle.
Fulham, West Ham. I'm going to have to ride with my Mitrovic pick, and I don't know. He's got to make it happen at home at the Cottage against West Ham, as terrible as their defense is, as you mentioned, Josh. So this will be a fun one for me to pit Mitrovic against Balbuena in my back line, and hopeful I win either way. I mean, God forbid Kamara ends up scoring a penalty to have a clean sheet wiped out and Mitrovic does nothing. A real possibility, I suppose. But I like this as like a 2-3 victory for one of these teams, and a terrible clean sheet wipeouts all over the place.
I know. I have a big debate right now between whether I want to do the Patricio at home to Bournemouth or Fabianski away to full moon. I know I was just talking about the how bad the West Ham defense is, but the Wolves defense is like almost as bad. Like, you yeah. know, and Bournemouth always score. Bournemouth like almost never get caught scoreless. Yep. I know it just happened in the Leicester match, but I mean, they didn't have Kellen. I guess if Kellen Wilson's still out, I would probably play Patricio. If Wilson plays, I'll probably go with Fabianski.
Yeah, I think that's smart. I think that's a good way of looking at it. Yeah, Arsenal-Southampton on Sunday. I think that's a key match for a lot of fantasy managers. It'll probably be Kane cap versus Aubameyang cap this week, and whoever wins out there is probably going to have the big game week. Is going to have the big rank rise. Yeah,
I still think you're underestimating how people are going to captain a Man City player. I do think that Raheem Sterling's going to be in one of the most captain, if not the most captain player this game week. I mean, his ownership level might not be high enough for that to happen, but what about Liverpool at home to Man United? Would you consider captaining Salah for that match? I mean
Man United's defense is pretty crap right now, and Salah, if he's going to maintain this form, he could do it. So I like that as a left field captain pick.
Here's a question for you, Brandon. This is like a very my team specific question, but Arsenal, as you may or may not know, don't have any center backs for this coming weekend. It is like this the most bizarre thing where they both players got yellow card accumulations in the same match. So neither one of them can play. I mean, that is so Mustafi and Socrates both can't play next weekend. And Rob Holding is out. So I honestly don't know who's going to – and Koscielny, I don't think is healthy enough to play.
I was just going to say murder ball style. They could wheel Koscielny out in a wheelchair, and he could just sort of play that way.
Have like Lichtsteiner, Monreal maybe plays a center back. So I have Højbjerg in my team right now. It is kind of tempting to start Højbjerg in this game week.
Yeah.
Like – if he's ever going to score, it's going to be against a team that has no center backs, right? I don't know. I mean, he might just be the first player on my bench, but it's kind of tempting just to play him.
How do you play this? See what happens. My bigger question is how does Arsenal play this attacking wise? Because you would think if they don't want their defense to be challenged because they don't have one, they need to maintain possession of the ball virtually the entire match. So does Emery go really big in the midfield to try and control the tempo and the possession, and then Lacazette misses out again?
It all comes back to Lacazette. Do you take Ozil out of mothballs? Maybe like do you dust him off and see if he can still?
Did you see the conspiracy theory that is he has all this back pain because he plays too many video games?
No, that sounds like the kind of thing of like so that somebody just hates Ozil, right? It's just saying that. That's
hates video games. It's ruining the game has changed, Josh.
But I mean, I guess we're getting far away from fantasy now. But like, if they don't have any center backs and Ramsey and Ozil are both out because those guys both have knocks right now, then it's like it's gonna be hard to even maintain. But I don't know. It's just like, but they're playing the perfect team. If you're ever gonna play a team with no center backs. You know, play Southampton. I mean, they don't have like any forwards or midfielders. It's like every single like I like never watch Southampton matches because I kind of hate. I like Southampton as a club, but their team right now is just so boring and dreadful. Yeah, but like every time I watch highlights, Nathan Redmond almost scores a great goal. Like, does anybody almost score more great goals than Nathan Redmond? The guy is like hitting the crossbar. He's like just like it's like inches away from the post. I mean. He's like inches away from having like 8 goals this year. And it's like, instead, I think he has none or like 1 or something like that. He has no goals and no assists.
So somebody isolated this on the Reddit FPL page where it's just like incredible. You look down minutes played. Redmond has played virtually every single minute of the season so far.
Brandon, Nathan Redmond has no goals and no assists in the season. And he is the top scoring midfielder for Southampton.
Whoa, baby.
Yeah.
I am really psyched for this Southampton Arsenal match. It's going to be a weird one. It is going to be a weird one.
Yeah, it is. All right, Brandon. Well, that's it. Once again, if you want to support the podcast during our pledge month, we promise we won't do this on every single podcast. Go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. It's a lot of fun benefits that come along with supporting the podcast as well, which you can see on that page. You can also buy mugs and sweatshirts and all that kind of stuff at the Always Cheating Shop. That's just alwayscheating.com/shop. Brandon, we have a lot of producers to thank this week.
Indeed, we do. Special thanks to our producers, Mike DiPietro, Stephen Toomey. Stephen Toomey is just crushing it with the Two Cheaters Ale. He just finished bottling our special made beer this weekend.
We should have thrown that at the top of the podcast. Yeah, that was awesome.
Well, shout out to you, Stephen. Your gold star to you. Sam Streak, also in the producer circle. Jacob Roberts, Nick Costello, Carl Rasmus, Leni Granley, Chris Howell, Rafi Khan, Martin Savage, Rick Brailsford, Jim Payne, Adam Benjamin, Max Chamberlain, Brian T., Trevor Ingerson, Chris Carter, and welcome to the club, Da Big Gaffer. Subscribe to Always Cheating on Spotify. Yes, you heard me right. We are available on Spotify, or subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Acast, anywhere that you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, give us a 5-star review on iTunes. That's really cool. Where else can people find us, Josh?
You can follow us on Twitter, Brandon. That's at Hail Cheaters, H-A-I-L Cheaters. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/alwayscheating. Email us anytime, hailcheaters@gmail.com, or visit the website for all this information and more. That is alwayscheating.com. Always Cheating. You can also follow us on Instagram, too. I don't know what our handle is, though. I think it's like instagram.com/alwayscheating. Just Google us, you know, or whatever. Do the search function within Instagram.
You'll sure. Search functions are around for a reason, guys. PSA.
Exactly. All right, Brandon. Well, good luck this weekend. I'm very anxious to see what your moves are. I think a -4 is on the
horizon. I love this. Josh smells blood in the water. I love it.
I'm just interested. I'm genuinely interested. I take a profound interest in your team. I wasn't trying to like psych. You always think I'm trying to psych you out. Anyway, Brandon, good luck this weekend.
All right, Master Psych out. Poku forever.
Poku forever. Bye.